and would love to thank all of you for listening to our Republican address last night. I was so humbled and extremely honored to be able to deliver that message on behalf of the Republicans in the House and the Senate, and it was just a great honor to represent the state of Iowa. As I mentioned last night, it wasn't so much about responding to the State of the Union or President Obama as much as it was just really a conversation about the concerns of Iowans and so many other Americans. The very same concerns that what I believe influenced the 2014 elections and, of course, then the responding makeup of our new Congress. And so, overriding last night's theme in my message was that we do plan to make Washington focus on the concerns, the very real concerns that Americans have, and find serious solutions to the problems that we're facing. It really is time for Washington, D.C. to get back to work. That's what we are doing. We are trying to eliminate the dysfunction that we've seen in the past number of years and work between the House, the Senate, and of course we would love to have the cooperation of the President on a number of our initiatives. And it all starts right here. We're at the beginning of a new session. We're ready to do that for the American people. One thing that we have been working on in the past week or so in the United States Senate is the Keystone XL pipeline. And as I stated, the President can no longer delay the Keystone XL pipeline, which really does have overwhelming bipartisan support. We have a number of Democrats that support this initiative. Unions support this, and the majority of Americans. So what we see this doing is providing important energy infrastructure for the future. And the fact that this is a project that supports thousands of jobs and pumps billions into our economy is just that much better for the American people. So it's something that we are excited about. Like I said, we have been addressing this in the United States Senate right now, and we have a number of amendments that will be coming up both from the Democrats and the Republicans, which, again, we have an open process now in Congress, whereas before the past number of years, any amendments by Republicans have been blocked, and much of the voting has also been blocked. Well, we're voting now. We're taking those hard votes. We are discussing amendments. So that's an important thing to point out for Iowa and for the American people. So that's the Keystone XL pipeline. But in addition, last night I talked about breaking down the trade barriers to sell more of what we make and grow in America so that we are boosting our manufacturing, our wages, and jobs right here at home. And I know that is so important in Iowa. My husband had worked in the manufacturing industry a number of years ago that was hit very hard during the recession, and we love to see that grow right back up to where it was many, many years ago. And that's true through all of our small communities right there in Iowa. So let's boost that manufacturing, get those wages up, and you know, sell more American goods overseas. We also need to simplify America's outdated and loophole-ridden tax code. I outlined that. You know, it would be so nice for Americans to sit down and file their taxes in an easy manner. We shouldn't have those loopholes that benefit just those that are well connected. We need a simplified tax code, so I have been pushing that. A number of other members have also. In addition to growing our economy and putting more Americans back to work, one thing that I know all of you understand is important to me is confronting terrorism and protecting our nation. We know that there are threats posed by Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other radical groups. And we know these threats are out there. We have to develop a comprehensive plan to defeat them. One thing I noticed last night during the President's address is that, oddly enough, he did not address Al-Qaeda. It's out there. We have been fighting it for years. It is still there, and it still poses a threat to us. So we do have to work together, and the first step is identifying that we have a problem with terrorism. identifying it, calling it out for what it is, terrorism, and then we address it. And we do have to have a comprehensive plan. And I know that between the Democrats and the Republicans, we are willing to work together to make sure we're not just degrading these terroristic threats, but that we are defeating them. We need to do that for the protection of America. So there are so many different things that we can achieve if we are working together. And as I stated last night, the president has expressed some support for different types of ideas, whether it's the tax codes, our trade, working on terrorism. We need to cooperate. We need to cooperate and pass the legislation that's necessary. Work together to defeat terrorism. And we can do that. We have to work together to make sure that as I stated during the campaign process, that we are leaving a stronger America than even what we inherited. It's important that we do that for our children and grandchildren. And one thing that I did want to communicate last night during my Republican address was that I am an ordinary Iowan, and I grew up on a very small little farm in southwest Iowa, and I came from very humble roots, and I wanted to project that to all Iowa and Americans that it doesn't matter where you come from, how you were raised, but we all have significant opportunities out there if we are willing to put the hard work into it and if we are willing to dream those big dreams. So I do hope that that comes across to a lot of children across Iowa that grew up as I did. It is out there. It is available. We want to make sure that they have great opportunities in the future. So with that, I will close, and I'd love to answer any questions that you have.
Okay, so first up, we have Kay Henderson.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Kay. Have you been to Lenox lately?
Not yet, but I'm keeping in touch with the folk down there. Anyway, you mentioned trade deals. I'm wondering about this U.S.-EU trade deal that's been discussed. Do you have any concerns about that have been raised about how corporations would be able to appeal to some sort of international court when they feel some European country or the U.S. Has some sort of regulation that they don't appreciate?
Well, that is going to be tricky to negotiate. I do believe that we have to take a look at it, and we know that there are going to be concerns out there. But I see great benefit in opening up some of these markets for Iowa goods. Iowa is the second largest state with agricultural exports, second only to California, and that's pretty amazing. We have so many goods and farm equipment, whether you look if it's a Vermeer or a John Deere, they have a lot of products that are coming out of Iowa. We would love to open up some of those new markets. So are there concerns? Yes, there are concerns, and we will always have some level of concern, but I do think that we need to start working through that for the benefit of Iowans.
Okay, next, Jennifer Hemmingson from the Gazette.
Morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. Well, I just wanted to know, I know that your response to the State of the Union wasn't really responding to the State of the Union, so what are your thoughts? I mean, what did you hear in the President's speech that you think can be built on for cooperation?
Well, maybe not necessarily so much of what he addressed in his State of the Union, because one thing that I did catch, he stated that we do have a lot more Americans covered by health insurance through Obamacare than we have had insured in the past. And while I agree with that, yes, there may be more Americans that are covered by insurance. It certainly is not affordable. And so what I think we need to work on together is finding a replacement for Obamacare. Most of the Iowans that I talked to on the campaign trail came to me and they had policies that had been canceled by Obamacare. So of course they were insured, were canceled, had to pick up new insurance, but those premiums were much more expensive than what they had been paying previously. So it really didn't fit into their family budgets. So I think we need to go back back. We need to take a good hard look at Obamacare and find quality, affordable, patient-centered health care. So, you know, whether the president agrees with that or not, I think that is something that we need to do. We do agree on the fact that we need to work on our tax system. And the president has indicated this now. You know, he talked a little bit about it in his address. We may not agree overall. I don't believe we should be raising taxes, but I do believe that we need to make taxes fairer, flatter, and a heck of a lot simpler for people. And I know, even if we can take a step back a moment, talk a little bit more about Obamacare, those folks that have been receiving subsidies all across the United States, it is going to make their tax filing infinitely more difficult this year. I did hear from a CPA back in Red Oak while I was home for my town hall on Saturday that said there are going to be some significant issues for these families as they are trying to prepare their taxes. So that's another issue that we can work on together. The 40-hour work week, I would love to see the president come forward and help us out with that. That's something that even members of his own party support too. The Keystone XL, you know, there's a lot of Democrats that agree with that. The president may not, but I think we can gain support in that area. So there are some issues that maybe we don't agree completely on, but that we can find different areas that we can work together on.
Okay, Chuck Morris from KMA Land.
Good morning, Senator, and nice to see you on Saturday, and nice to see you on TV last night.
Yeah, thanks for coming out, Chuck. I appreciate it.
You bet. I want to talk a little bit more about Obamacare. Many Americans would state that prior to Obamacare, there were some crises in healthcare delivery in this country. So looking at Obamacare and the likelihood of repealing Obamacare, which does not seem likely, what specific changes could be made to improve what has been started there with Obamacare?
Well, again, I think going back, there are a number of things that we can do, which would be moving the work week from 30 hours to 40 hours as being considered full-time employment. That would help a lot of those small mom-and-pop shops, a lot of those that we have across Iowa that, you know, aren't huge employers but do have a good number of employees. That would be very helpful to them. And then also, one thing that maybe people won't see on a day-to-day basis, but the medical device tax that exists out there, it's not something that ordinary Joe Iowa on the street will talk about, but it does impact his cost for health care. So we do need to make the cost of health care much more transparent. We've talked about that in the past. Of course, finding ways that we can make the insurance industry more competitive by opening up to selling across state lines. That is another solution that we can look at. There are a number of ways we could do it, but what we have seen so far is that we do have increased insurance costs, increased premiums, which is hurting mostly the folks that it was intended to help, which is those folks that fall in the middle. Our middle-income families, they're paying more and more out of pocket every month. Their deductibles have increased significantly. The example I used on the trail, visit with a young farmer from Alamakee County who had a $300 month insurance policy for himself. He said it worked for me. But after Obamacare, it was canceled. He had to take a new plan, cost him $700 a month, and his deductible was $10,000 a year. And he was shaking when he told me about this, and he said, I can't do this. It's $400 extra a month, and I don't have $10,000. So it impacted the people that maybe we thought we were trying to help. You know, when the government passed that, or the president passed that, it's really hurting those folks. So we've got to do things differently, Chuck.
Thank you.
Okay, Kathy Obadovich from the Des Moines Register.
Good morning, Senator. Thanks for having the call.
Thanks, Kathy.
Often the president asked for two pretty specific things regarding terrorism and a war against terrorism. Would you support the authority that the president requested for military action against Islamic State? That was one of the specific specific things you asked for, and secondly, would you support holding off on additional sanctions against Iran, which you said would settle the diplomatic progress?
Well, the authority to respond, I would have to put more consideration into that. I want to make sure that he is using that authority appropriately in responding to this threat. I think that if there is an imminent threat out there, that certainly Congress would rally around the president. I don't doubt that. But in the second question, of course, could you restate that, Kathy? I know we were.
Oh yeah, sorry. Related to terrorism, the nuclear threat of Iran, the president.
Right, exactly. No, you know, there's a number of different thoughts out there, and without delving too deep into that issue, of course, we're receiving a number of briefs right now, but with the Iran sanctions, I am of the school of thought that we need to show Iran that we are serious about this, and I would like to see an additional pressure coming from Congress saying, you know what, Iran, we have delayed, and we need you to come to the plate, and we need you to follow up. We keep moving closer to Iran. They are not giving anything, but the United States keeps giving because Iran keeps delaying and pushing on. How much further can we go? So I want Iran to understand that there will be very serious consequences if we do not reach a deal and reach a deal soon. There are others that are of a different school of thought. We need to work through the process, and they just really want to handle this with kid gloves. I understand that, and I understand that we need to negotiate in good faith, but at the same time, we need to let Iran know that their nuclear ambitions are not welcome. I don't believe that their nuclear capacity would be for a peaceful purpose. And the minute we see Iran achieving their nuclear ambitions, there will be others in the Middle East which will wish to have nuclear capabilities also. It's a hot spot. It's a hot button. We need to address this quickly.
Okay, Dave Price from WHO. All right, we'll go to Marjorie Sturgeon from KMTV.
Hi, thank you for doing this call.
Yeah, thanks, Marjorie.
So my question is about the Keystone Pipeline. Basically, opponents of the pipeline will say usually it's only going to create temporary jobs and not really address energy needs for the U.S. What would you say in response to that?
Well, first to the construction jobs. Now, my dad, in addition to being a farmer, he brought in additional money for a family, kept us afloat during some tough times by working construction, and I helped him work construction. That's what construction is. They are temporary jobs. I don't know of any construction agency that says, oh, this is a permanent job. I'm going to keep building this same project forever. That's what these businesses do. So for the president to poo-poo these jobs is ridiculous. That's what families rely on. We have a lot of small companies that exist in Iowa. That's all they do, temporary construction jobs. So I think it's very important. It would pump billions into our economy, create those thousands of construction jobs, which, again, they are very, very important jobs for families all across the United States, for those that would be involved in the building of this project. So I think it's a great proposal. The fact, when you look at energy for the United States or North America, this is creating jobs. It is creating energy. That heavy crude oil that will move through this pipeline would be refined in the United States. It is setting up infrastructure. infrastructure for future needs also. So I do think it does help out with our energy needs in North America, and anything that we can do to look long-term at the infrastructure and makes us more energy independent from other nations around the globe, I think is very important.
Okay, Tibbetts from Quad City Times. All right, Kevin Hall from the Iowa Republican. Dean Borg from Iowa Public Radio. Jim Boy from WHO Radio.
Hi, Senator.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Very good. Thank you.
Okay, this is going to sound like it's a little bit out of left field. I want to find out whether you've pinched yourself yet. Because here's this small-town Iowa farm girl walking down the aisle with two statesmen from Iowa a couple weeks ago, taking the oath, doing the Republican response to the State of the Union. Have you awakened from the dream?
Well, I tell you, it is a dream. I haven't pinched myself yet, and a lot of folks do ask that, Jim. They say, has it sunk in yet? And my response over and over again is that, no, it really hasn't. And I hope that it never truly sets in. I am honored to be here serving as the junior senator from Iowa, but I still am that Iowan, and that is my intent, is to remain Iowan through and through. My commitment is to the people of Iowa, and that's what I carry around here at the Capitol, too, is that people know when they meet me, I am all about Iowa. So I am so happy to talk about my home state, and I am so happy to talk about the areas that I grew up and all of the wonderful opportunities that Iowa offers. So it is, I am living a dream, and it is a very significant dream, and I hope that, I talked about it in the address last night, I mentioned it a little bit ago, but as I look across Iowa, the talented young men and women that we have all across Iowa, and, regardless of party, I don't care, people's party affiliations, I think if they have big dreams, they need to follow those dreams. We have a lot to offer, not just to Iowa, but to the United States and to the world, whether it's our manufacturing, whether it's our agriculture, whether it's our talented youth, and as it comes to technology. We have a lot to offer, and we need everybody to know that we can offer that, regardless of where we come from. So I am having a great time, some very serious discussions. At the end of the day, we know we're working really hard for Iowans and for the American people.
Thank you. The next time I'll ask a policy question.
Great. Thank you. All right, folks. And Senator Ernst has got to get to a committee hearing now, so we're going to have to wrap up. But if there are any additional questions, you can email us at